God, let your will be done. Lord God, we know that there's listening and we know that there's hearing. Let what's being said be heard according to what you want the ears to hear. In the precious name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing, what you've done, and especially for what you're getting ready to do. You are just simply awesome, and I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank God. Amen. I thank God for Sister Minister Delise. When I was talking to her and I was asking her, well, what is, you know, the topics and all that, trying to be in order, trying to, you know, get a topic and find a scripture instead of letting God tell you what to say. And she reassured me. She said, you know, oh, and I'm not a pastor. I think she said, God bless you. I'm not a pastor. But I told, she said, you know, whatever God gives you, do you. And the next thing I heard myself saying is, but I'm not the same. I kind of changed. And we went to speaking and talking, and I found out that we've all changed. We've all gone through, I want to say suffered through some changes. Some of us suffered through some changes. Some of us praised and worshiped through some changes. I heard a phrase this week. Some of us had a sad praise. We were really sad, but we still praise God. You can do that. God understands emotions. He gave them to us. I know everybody want to say they cloud walking. My husband said, what is that? I say, you so high up, you just go cloud to cloud. Your feet never touch the ground. That's not me. But sometimes I've had a sad praise. Never gave up on God, never will, but I was sad. I'm gonna be real transparent with you. But I thank God for, in spite of it all, he continues to let me know that it's not even just about us. Where he sends us and what he wants us to do is always about somebody else, and he just blesses me. You know, I get the overflow. I always get so much more than what I give. So much more. Not expecting any of it. Yeah, I tell my husband I got one bad eye. So I got peepers now. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it at all. But there's a little song. When Pastor Mike said that old time song, there's a song. I was surprised my husband never even heard this song. And maybe I am that old. And but it says, it took a miracle to hang the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, washed, cleansed, and made it took a miracle of love and amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. It took a miracle to hang the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the moon in space. But when he, what did he do? Can you say that to yourself? But when he saved my soul, washed and then made me whole, it took a miracle of love. Yeah, 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 yeah. We done talked about, we talked today about faith. Well, we heard and listened and saw a powerful example of faith from the old to the young. And then we talked about the power that comes with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Just let me check the room. How many of y'all got some infilling today? Yeah, I think the last time I was here, Pastor Mike was on the keyboard and we were doing the prayer line and God said, now ask him, are you asking God, what do you want me to do with my salvation? So a lot of us got power, but we need to know what we're supposed to be doing with it, right? Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about just a couple of things because I don't want to give a whole lot, because whatever God gives me to give to you, I want you to ruminate on it like a cow in a pasture eating hay. I want you to chew it and chew it. I don't want your cheeks out and your mouth full and what was that one and what was that. I want to give you just enough. We need tools today. We need the word of God, but we need tools that word of God gives us that we can now, because when you walk out that door, as great a time as we had, life is waiting to bump right up into you. Some of it didn't even wait till you got home. You already got a text. You already got a phone call. And it's going to bump right up into you. So we need to take those tools that we got this morning. You talking about a walking, talking scripture that Pastor Naomi gave. I don't know my scriptures like that. I'm going to just let y'all know. I know how to live it out, but I can't tell you where it is and all that good stuff. But that's okay. I know it's in my heart. But we need those tools. So what topic I wanted to talk about is that as we talk about miracles and the power of God in our lives, if you don't understand who you are, you will never fully understand the power of God that you possess. You have to know who you are. Otherwise, we keep coming back needing more, and what did you want me to do, and what did you, you know, you have to know who you are. Amen. Who God made you to be, who you are in Christ, who you are. The Bible tells us plainly who we are. And then once you know who you are, to get that power deposited in you, you got your marching orders, because you know who you are. You know what God put you here for, what you need to do, and now he's empowered you to do those things. So when I was 9 years old, I was shorter than I am right now. Can you believe it? I heard Pastor Mike laugh from all the way back there. It's mustard seed, okay? Just takes a little bit, just a little bit. Power pack, just a little bit. But I tarried, got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. The missionaries came out and told the bishop that I had gotten the Holy Ghost, and he couldn't see me over the table, so he made me get on the altar again and prove it. But I tell people at 9 years old, I got what I equate to as a jet just dropped into my life. At 9 years old, I got filled with power. Power. The same power that fell on the day of Pentecost. I got it. At 9 years old. And that jet sat in my driveway for years because I didn't have a clue of what to do with it. I was a tongue-talking, shouting. Man, we used to get the missionaries because I sat in the front all the time, right behind the missionaries row and get shouting and hit their hats off and they turn around and be hitting me and take it right out the spirit. I didn't know what to do with all that power, but it was mine. And 9 years old, that jet was mine. I owned it. God gave it to me. But I had no idea. So it sat there. And as I matured and learned a few things and came up through the church and learned more word and heard more word, I would kind of go and walk around the jet and kind of look at it like, you belong to me, huh? Woo, I'm scared. I don't know what to do with you. Then I grew a little bit more and started to sing and, you know, I felt him. Oh my God, did I feel God. Ooh. You know, when they say, take me back to the place where I first received, man, I got carpet burns on my knees right now to prove it. It was like that crazy Holy Ghost where you just saw him and it was everywhere. I felt him, but I didn't know what to do with that jet. And then I grew and I learned some more and I started to go through things in my teen years and I grew and I decided, well, let me just walk up the steps and get on this thing since you say it's mine and just look around to see what this is all about. And it was massive. There was a door to the cockpit, but that thing stayed closed. But I walked the cabin, all the seats and everything else, and I looked. And as I'm looking, God begins to tell me more and more about what he wants to do in my life and the things that I'm going to be able to do for him, how he's going to use me, where he's going to take me. And you know what I did? I got off that jet and closed the door because I'm like, I'm not ready. Because not only are you telling me I'm not just responsible for me, but if you about to fill this cabin and I don't have it right and something goes down, then that means all them people. No, I was terrified when I began to learn of the power that God had dropped in my life and the responsibility of it all. But when you love Jesus, you come back. You're gonna eventually do for the one that you love. Even if you're afraid, even if you're whatever, as in the spirit, in the natural, you're going to come back and eventually do that thing. And one thing I knew for sure at 9 years old is how much I love Jesus. I ain't know much else, but I knew I loved Jesus. I've been asking about Jesus since I could talk, follow my mother around. What is Jesus like? Where's my grandmother in heaven? What does heaven look like? Getting songs at the age of 7, I knew I loved him. I grew up, got married, have kids, and all that good stuff, and that jet is still parked in my parking lot, and I see it, and I observe it. I feel some kind of way about it. I'm intimidated about it, but it's mine. I finally went back on that thing and opened the cockpit and saw even more that I did not know anything about. All those instruments up there, I was like, Lord, I don't, but he said, you know what? You are never alone. Every pilot has a co-pilot. I'm going to be with you. If you just, you don't even have to take it off the ground. Just get in there and start fiddling with the buttons and just see if you can start her up. See if you can rev the engine. So I started revving the engine. I started, you know, saying yes to the things that I knew God wanted me to do. You know, people, will you come? Yes. Will you pray? Yes. Will you, you know, will you go to the nursing home? Yes. What about the prisons? Yes. And the more yeses I did, the more I learned how to fiddle with those buttons. And the more I said yes, the more I turned the engine and now it's running. And then I got to the point where I would just not lift it, but just let me see if I can roll this thing. We still talking about the power of the Holy Ghost, okay? We still talking about his power. This thing that was dropped on me at 9 years old that I asked for because he is such a general. Oh, I got mad when my cousin got the Holy Ghost before I did. I actually said, see, Jesus, you going to fill her and ain't going to fill me. And the next thing I know, I was getting up off the floor. I was like, I'm not a respecter person. I begged for it. I tarried for it. I asked for it. I didn't know quite what I was asking for, but I wanted it. And here I am with this jet still in my life. And God asked me, what you gonna do with it? Who you gonna carry in it? Who you gonna take up higher in it? Where will you go in it? What you gonna do with that power? There's a power that comes with the Holy Ghost. But you gotta know who you are. All those years that that jet sat there, Doreen was learning who she was. Sometimes it looked like I was just not even rejecting the jet, not looking, but what I was doing is God was just, I was living, I was growing, I was going through things, good things, bad things, mistakes. But we are filled to the brim. I mean to the brim with the power of the Holy Ghost. Even if we don't use it, it's still there. And sometimes we using it and we don't even, anybody ever had that encounter where, what is it about you? You ain't said nothing, did nothing, you just being yourself. And it's like, it is something about you. A coworker, a stranger on the street, you just, because you just filled with power. It just radiates off of you. That light just radiates. It just radiates. But you have to know who you are. So the first scripture I am going to give is out of Genesis 1 and 26. I'm sorry. Okay. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. Yeah. So God created man in his image, in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Yeah. Male and female, he created them. Yeah. Then God blessed them. He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. We can stop that right there. I like the part after he created, he blessed them. Yeah, yeah. Do you understand what it is when God puts a blessing on you? He created them. So that was the first thing that told me who I am. Now, Psalms 139, that really tells us who we are. I know y'all all familiar, right? That's okay. We about to be familiar. Is this the beginning of it? All right. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. That person know you, right? He knows you. That's somebody saying that they know you. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Anybody, now I can say I've been married 45 years. That's my husband back there somewhere. And I would like to say he's acquainted with all my ways, but every time I do something, he just shake his head like, you are crazy. It's always something new. He's acquainted with a lot, but not all of them. God is acquainted with all your ways. So I stop being fake and phony in front of him. You know, it's like, I'm mad. God can handle my anger because he's acquainted with all my ways. I'm disappointed. He can handle my disappointment because he's acquainted with all my ways. I'm hungry and eating too much. He can handle that too. He's acquainted with all my, why am I fronting with God? There's no need to front with him. We front with people, and I stop fronting with people. The best thing I did at 60 is stop caring about what people say. I don't care. My granddaughter, okay, sidebar. My granddaughter that I so wonderfully inherited from my daughter who passed away, she's in junior high. She was 9 when I got her. She'll be 13 next month. And she's in junior high school. I didn't did junior high school twice. I didn't think I was gonna have to do it again, but here we are. And I was like, Lord, help me. My daughter helps me with her, but I'm like, I just feel like I'm like number one primarily responsible for her. So at the beginning of the year, I told her, look, I know you in junior high school. I remember how that is. I remember going through it with my daughters. I just want you to know, I know things get a little crazy. God bless junior high school's teachers. I just could never do it. And I told her, but look, if you want to get over there and clown, ain't going to be no bigger clown than me. So don't get over there clowning. Please don't make me have to be a whale. She decided that, you know, she was going to make a whole lot of friends, which she did. She's an amazing young lady, socialite, talkative, always have been. But then I get the first call from a teacher. So the next morning, she comes in, and my daughter is sitting there looking at her. She come in all ready to get taken to school, and she's smiling. And she looks, and my daughter says, well, how are you? And she's like, I'm good. And she turns and sees me on the side of my daughter, sitting there, full clown outfit, with fishnet stockings on, and my knee-high boots, the collar, the big things going down here. And I stood up, I said, let's go to school. Oh my God, if I had time to pass my phone around and a picture of me in my clown outfit with her, standing, getting ready to take her to school. I took her to school. I said, I made a promise to you. You weren't going to clown harder than me. The seats of the car were cold. It was in December. My little fishnet legs was cold, but I was willing to make the sacrifice. I went up there. I told her, I said, I'm going to drop you off, and then I'm going, and I'm going to talk to the principal. She's like, in that? Well, that's what I have on. She literally got out the car, when I tell you, full of the Holy Ghost. She was full up to here with tears. Some of them would drop, some of them wouldn't. I didn't even have an appointment, didn't need an appointment with the principal's office. After school, I text her, I said, I'm picking you up today, I will be outside. This child that usually takes 15 minutes to get to the car because she got to talk to everybody, was the first one out the building. And in my car. So that happened last year. So this year, I was like, we don't need to revisit anything, right? And she's like, Mima, I don't know how you just will embarrass yourself. And so, oh, I don't get embarrassed. You got a Mima that don't get embarrassed. That's the worst thing you can have. I will come out there with house slippers, pink rollers, a plastic bag. It don't bother you. You get embarrassed. That's why, oh, all A's and B's. Teacher threatened to call everybody's parent in the class. She texted me yesterday. Mima, I didn't do anything. It was the boys in the class, but she gonna call everybody. I go all of that to say, I don't get embarrassed anymore, and especially with the ways of Christ. I used to try to get up and do it all right and be in order and what I think people want and stuff, but what I realize is that God wants me to be me, just like he wants you to be you, because somebody else is already being somebody else, and what he's trying to do is who he's trying to get you to be. So, yes. So, I'm sorry. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, oh Lord, you know it all together. For all those slip up little cussing people, he know it all together. He already know. You just surprising other people. You ain't pulling nothing over on God. You have hedged me behind and before, in front and behind. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain it. Come on, let's stop making God so little like we can attain what he has and his thoughts for us. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, what? You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, what? You here too? You here too? When I made my first CD, I had a beautiful older sister missionary tell me, whatever you do, darling, don't go into the devil's territory. I was like, God made me to go in the devil's territory. Why am I sit up here and sing to y'all? Y'all all right. He gave me this to go in that territory. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm a grunt. I call myself a grunt. You know, in the military, they short, they send them down to foxholes. I'm a grunt. I don't mind going down to foxholes. As long as God say go and he's with me, I'm right there. I am just right there. So if I go, he ain't you. You though, been given a bag of stuff like God only with us when we up high and doing everything right. That is just so untrue. My first CD, one of the first people that bought it was, she was on crack. And she told me, she said, Doreen, we be in the crack house having praise and worship off your CD. Somebody got offended. I bless God. I don't care how it's getting in there, as long as take me to the crack house. What? You having praise and worship over the music that God has given me? Take me. And that woman, she ended up coming and giving her life to Christ, and she goes right back to them same crack houses to pull somebody else out. They pray more than we do. She used to tell me, she said, I come home from work, because she was a working crackhead. And she said, I would be walking, I would just be, she said, people think I was just talking to myself, being paranoid. But she said, what I was saying is, Jesus, get me home. Don't let me stop by the crack. Don't let me stop by the drug dealer. Just get me to the house. Just get me to the house. She was praying the whole way. They, you know what? They pray. They know it's a difference between knowing and knowing you need Jesus instead of thinking that you got it all right. I love people that know that they need Jesus. Those are my favorites. My favorite services in the prisons. 300 men just singing amen. Beautiful men. Some of the best musicians and vocalists I ever heard. You can call it jailhouse ministry. All of us got saved because of something. Whatever, I don't care where it was. As long as Christ gets in there and you get it, it's all right with me. It is all right with me. I know I'm giving him a fit. We're going to finish this up. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Y'all keep, we talk about somebody, worship is sitting in a corner being held by God. Just, you ever been to a place where you know, I mean, you feel his hands holding you? You don't want to leave that place. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. covered. Okay, let's go. Yes. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. This is rich, y'all. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Who else can do that? Who else can do that? Wait, right there. So I told my husband last night, I said, open your hands. And I did like this. And I said, open your other hand, I did like this. I said, what do you see? I said, he doesn't see anything. I said, do you realize that God makes these two things that we can't even see and created a way to get that into a woman's womb, and that turns into a whole human being? Do y'all know what a miracle is? That's a miracle. How in the world can something that we can't see? When I was in nursing school, the first time I saw, because I had C-sections, first time I saw vaginal birth and that bowling ball coming through, they were like, back her up. I almost passed out. And then when the head came and it looked like an alien, I was like, oh my Lord. I didn't get that experience. But I was in awe that a whole human being was coming from something that we couldn't even see. A seed that God had put in there and figured out a way. He did it well. He just did it well. I will praise you, for I am, let's say, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows. Do your soul really know that his works are marvelous? Sometimes I make a spectacle of myself. And I've heard people say, oh, it is so unseemly to be making a, you know, the clown thing might have been a spectacle. My granddaughter thought so. But it's like you are just being so unseemly. But you know what? God loves making spectacles. Look at the stars and the moon, and spectacles turn into spectacular. He does things big, 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 big. He does things big. I want to be a spectacle for him. I want to do things that big. But first I had to know who I am. We always talk about whose you are. It's like we understand more about who God is than we understand about who we are. We got to start understanding who we are, from our greatness, our power, to our limitations. And the last scripture is Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Huh? I ordained you a prophet to the nation. So, before you were born, God knew you. Before you were born, he sanctified you. That means you came here ready. At 9 years old, I didn't know that I had already been formed, and I didn't know that God had already deposited everything in me that I needed. But I couldn't figure that out until I figured out who I was. So the scriptures teach us who we are. If we have, you know, I won't even say just godly parents, because God will use whoever and whatever he wants to feed. So the good, the bad, the ugly, the pain, the things we thought were supposed to break us and knock us down and all of that kind of good stuff. People would tell me, it's like, you are so strong after seeing my daughter battle cancer for 2 years viciously and then to lose her. They were like, but you're so strong. I was, my first question is, how do you know I'm strong? Because you only see me, what, at the funeral or once in a while? So that's an assessment. My second one is, we have a way of saying, I don't look like what I've been through. Anybody ever heard that? You don't look like what you've been through. That can be good or bad, because you can be putting on a face so that everybody don't see what you've been through, but inside, you just really toe up and dying inside. So I say, I look like how I'm handling it. This is how I'm handling it. I pack up my pain and I keep moving. Sometimes it's a little purse, and sometimes it's a whole truck. It just depends. But I pull it and I keep moving. Sometimes my handling may look this good, and sometimes my handling may be me on my face. But one thing that never changes is the power of God in me and how much I love and trust him. It's all right to look how you're handling things. When we get these tools, we learn how to handle them a little better, but we just have to be honest to ourselves. Don't worry about nobody else. Be honest to yourself about what's going on. So, y'all gonna see a miracle today. Amen? Amen. Everybody excited? Yes. Y'all don't look excited. What if I say y'all were gonna see the Red Sea open up and somebody was gonna, you know, pass away and they were gonna come back? Y'all be like, amen. I was singing at one Bible class, though, and I don't believe in singing this way. I always sing up, because if I get God's attention, then he's inclined. He'll come down, and then he does what only he can do, and isn't that what we really want? But while I am doing that, this woman is passing away right there in the church. I had no idea. When I finished the song, she had passed away. They had revived her, and they had taken her to the hospital, and I had no idea whatsoever. But we're going to see some miracles today. We're going to see a whole lot of miracles today. Yeah, now y'all excited? So I was Googling, and I asked Mrs. Google, what's the probability of a human being being born? Just what, you know, what are the chances that you're here, I'm here, we're all here? Somebody actually went and tried to do the math and turn it into numbers. And they said the probability of a human being born is 400 trillion. If you take into the whole universe, if you take into all the people that are here, if you take into the length of time, if you take into how long, they just took everything into consideration. How many eggs the women have, how many sperms women have, and they decided numerically that you got here in a 1 in 400 trillion chance. Does that sound like a miracle? I'm just saying, when my daughter was sick, we want the big ticket items. Those are the miracles that we preach on. Oh, he healed her, raised her from the dead, spread the ocean, killed all the enemies. The big ticket items. But the miracles every day is, oh my God, I open my eyes. There go another one. And another one. I wake up so grateful now. I just lay there for a minute and I am so grateful. There's a grace that comes with being grateful. Even if God raised that person from the dead, like he did Lazarus, Lazarus eventually died again. I heard someone say a miracle is when God bends the expectations of what should happen on someone's behalf. But even with miracles, they're always for somebody else, right? He lets the crowd gather. It's a message to some. Yes, it's about that person, that individual, but even bigger. But what I know is that every day miracles are in front of me. We can't even get to the big ticket items if we don't see the other, and they're not little ticket items. Every breath is a big ticket item. The only thing that separates you from death is this. Stop breathing. Oh, but let something go wrong in the body. Why does something have to go wrong in our body for us to start talking about miracles? Why can't be a miracle when it's right? Why do we have to get cancer to start praying for a miracle to be delivered from cancer? Or somebody got, you know, your bill behind and everything else. The extra days, they gave my daughter 3 days when we bought her home. And at the fourth day, she said they wasn't right. And she lived 2 more days. Miracle. Miracles in the power of God. So I have a mirror here. Anybody got a mirror? Come on. All you vain ladies that got mirrors in your purse, don't be shy. Anybody got a mirror in their purse? Pull it out. Pull it. Oh, see? I love her. Anybody? Okay, pull a mirror out. Pull a mirror out. All the rest of y'all don't have a mirror. Wait a minute. Come here, Pastor Naomi. I'm going to give you a big... I know Blessing's got a mirror as beautiful as she is, all them pictures and stuff. She be taking... Oh, you have your phone. Y'all can use your phone for a mirror, too. Anybody else? Minister Denise, here you go. As I was researching for this and looking... If I did it biblically, everything that referenced a mirror just seemed to reference vanity. And, you know, I know there's scriptures about, you know, when you don't get the word of God in your heart, it's like looking in the mirror and forgetting who you look like. But it was those kind of things. But I didn't see anything about the beauty of looking in a mirror. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? What did you see? Beauty? Did some of you get close and go, ooh, look at that chin head and came back? I know I just pulled that out yesterday. Did some of you get real close and go, look, y'all like my blonde hair? Let me tell you, I was like, I'm probably like 60% gray now. I got sick and tired of all that dark dye that I had to keep every 3 weeks doing like this. And I was like, what can I do? I'm going blonde because I don't have to dye my hair that often. That is all that this is about. And then I found out I liked it. That's all that that was about. But when you look in the mirror, what are you looking for? What are you looking at? Do you draw in closer? Do you say anything to yourself? When you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth, do you see where you're just trying to get your teeth clean? If you're putting on makeup, are you looking at the pores in your skin? And if this is drooping and that's drooping, if there's a new wrinkle or a new, you know, a new eyebrow, hair is all the way down here now, and you look, what are you seeing? Are you seeing more beauty, or are you seeing more things that you feel like you just need to fix? Ooh, I need to get my hair done. You know, what are you seeing? Everything. All the above, all the above. I love your honesty. I love your honesty. Well, you know, mirrors have been around for a long time, and even before we had mirrors like this, you know, in the olden days, they used to shine up metals and silver and gold just to get their reflections. Or even before that, they used to sit by the water and get the reflection. But because the water is moving and, you know, it isn't as clear. And what I learned, in order to get a clear image, you need a smooth surface. If it's rough, it's distorted. God smoothed out my surfaces. I needed a clearer image. And he smoothed out my surface, and he's smoothing out the distortions that I see. So when we look in the mirror, and we're supposed to be reflections of him because we're made in his image, what are we seeing? Now, this is what really, I did not understand half the things about what mirrors do. It's just too complicated. I'm gonna have to ask my grandchildren. But the mirror actually is a reflection of light bouncing off. This is, when you look in the mirror, you're actually seeing reflections of light that create your image. Anybody see where I'm going? We're created in the image of God. He knows our inner and our outer. He's done everything. He is the light. We filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, which brings light. He dispels darkness. He even works in light and darkness. And we stand in the mirror every day, and what we're looking at is a reflection of ourselves through light. It's a reflection of you through light. But how many of us are missing it? We missing the light part. Our eyes, the lens of our eyes, are distorted from even who we are, how beautiful we are. The first, oh my God, my life changed. I told someone, they were like, whew, you look like you're recovering. I ain't recovering. I want brand new. There's some stuff in there that could be gone forever. I don't need to get it back. I need brand new. And this brand new Doreen, daggone it, I love her to death. She is something else. She is just I love being me, and I love my company. Now, that you can call me vain, you can call me whatever, but what did it is, I don't see me anymore. I see the reflection of light. When I let down all those distortions and how I think I'm supposed to be, and let the God illuminate, let it illuminate outside of me, and because I see the light, other people see the light, and they're drawn to the light. And once you get that attention, that power of God that you have in you, you can put it to work. You can put it to work. You got, what did Jesus do before he did anything? He fed people. You know what I mean? He bought them. He healed them. He did something great and got their attention. Your light can get the attention in a dark world. And you don't have to be hucking my shunder and shaking and carrying on. Smile at somebody since we got these masks off. do it and then sit and listen for the answer. Don't ask somebody what's wrong with you. Ask them what happened to you. And then let them tell you and listen. You don't have to solve the problem. Your job is just to be present, to be a light in darkness, to be ever present. You would go, now this women's conference is on fire, and I know y'all come in here and it's all about, oh, y'all just make my heart so glad. But I've been to some big conferences where I was, you know, 15 rows deep behind every bishop and apostle with every robe and everything that you can name, and we in a coliseum with all of these people in Baltimore, and all the violence and everything is going on outside, and I'm like, you mean to tell me there's 5,000 bishops and apostles, ain't nothing changed in this city? Nothing has changed in this city. I stopped singing in so many churches because they would invite me in for their 4 o'clock programs, and I get in there and it'd be four missionaries who didn't have their chicken and got the itis and sitting down like this, and then they want me to get up and sing. Meanwhile, y'all stood and opened the door and rushed me right through all the people that were on the street. Can you put a speaker or something out there? I'm not here to entertain y'all. The world needs something. At least put a speaker out there if you're gonna lock the doors behind me. We're the image of God, the reflection of Christ. We have work to do. Why do you have power if you're not gonna do anything with it? You heard of muscles atrophy? You know, we got power, but we didn't got weak because of muscle. Oh, we won't talk about this right here. But that's how some of our Holy Ghost look, just as shaky, just as weak. What you gonna do with your salvation? What you gonna do with the power that God has given you? He did not give you all that power to get to church on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays. That is not, he don't need you for that. He gave you the power to minister to others, and really that ministry should always be like Christ, where you are doing something, but the whole idea is to lead them to Christ. Because you know what? An atheist can feed somebody. An atheist can get a car. An atheist can get a house. An atheist can go and get surgery and get healed or whatever, but it ain't but one creature that can get you to church and then get you saved. It all ends up with you using your power to connect them to the power. That's the miracle. Only God, you know, man think he can do a whole lot of things. You can't have a baby, we'll get you a baby. They trying to clone people. Be free to be you. You could be whoever, whatever you want to do. It is what it is. We passed a church coming, it was like Sunday, we blessing dogs and cats and everything else. That's fine, bring them in, whatever you want to do. But one God can save your soul. And that's what your power is, to start your jet and fill it up and get them to Jesus. But you use who you are. He made you the way you are because the people that you're connected to will be connected to you. You will pull them in. He made you who you are. You're the reflection in this mirror. You are the reflection, and don't you dare let anybody tell you your worth. You need to know your worth. Go to Psalms 139. Go to the Word of God. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not. When my grandkids get up in the morning to go to school, all my granddaughters, good morning, gorgeous. Good morning, handsome, to my grandson. Good morning, gorgeous. And then one time I asked my grandson, I said, do you think you handsome? He said, yeah. I said, why? He said, because you told me. God already told you. You're beautiful. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows your inner workings and your outer workings. He's told you that you're a light. We need to start looking at this reflection that we see in this mirror differently. Okay, we can spend some time finding that chin hair, but you need to spend some time telling yourself, come on. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. That means you made me real good, God, from the chink in my eye to the color of my skin, to my blonde hair, to my dark hair. You have crafted and created me. I am a reflection of your light. This is a tool. I'm trying to give you a tool so that when you walk out the door and life tells you you're not beautiful, you're ugly, you can't do this and this and this, you remember that your mirror in your house, your phone in your hands should show a reflection of the light within you and the power and the God within you. When you start reflecting that, when you lift Jesus up, he draws. These people out in the world, they want to come to Christ. It's just all the middle stuff. It's all the middle stuff. You know, what do I wear? What do I sit? And who gonna, you know, it's that middle stuff. But don't say these people don't want Jesus. These people, they tired. They are looking for better, and if we're not there, they're going to find better somewhere. If it's in pharmaceuticals, if it's in sex, if it's in whatever, they're going to get that desire and need satisfied. And we're the light, but we have to know that we're the light. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you are in Christ? You don't have to know, like, you know, we will go and have these things like, what do you think your gift is? Oh, I don't know. After singing, I don't know. Sometimes you just don't know. But you can start with just knowing that Christ lives within you. And you're supposed to do something. And that something just might be smiling at somebody that day. It just might be they don't have enough for their groceries and you finish it off with that extra $5. All of that is ministry. And you know what? To somebody, that's a miracle. Because they didn't know how they were going to do it. And here you come. And then you get a chance to talk about Jesus, to plant a seed. I'm not saying they're going to fall out in the grocery store and get saved and feel right there, but there's a seed. And once I've done my part, Jesus will do the rest. He will. I don't have to follow him home, get the number. Oh, I should have got her number. No. You did your part. And you have to know you to know what your part is, because your part may not be to follow up. So I want all of you, this reflection in this mirror, I want you to look at it. It's scary to look at ourselves sometimes. We don't do much eye-to-eye contact with others, and we don't do much eye-to-eye contact with ourselves. It's scary to take that look. Because our eyes in that light inside is going to tell you. You know how they say you worship God in spirit and in truth? Yes. This will give you a truth. It'll give you a truth. And I'm not talking about just the outside truth. I'm talking about taking that mirror and taking it and doing a deep introspective, looking into it with the utmost sincerity and asking God, what did he want me to do with all this power? What do you want me to do with all this grace and love that you've given me? And then don't walk away. Stand there and stare at yourself. And you know what? Pretty soon you're not going to see yourself. If you come in truth, you're not even going to see yourself after a while. You're going to start to see the light that's reflecting off of this and coming off of you. So that's the tool that I'm giving you to take home. Anybody going to do it? Go home and really do an introspective and look in that mirror beyond your beautiful selves. Look into your eyes and ask God, what is it? Who am I? Show me, tell me. And watch us start changing. All right? Is God good or what? Y'all have your homework? All this is great. But if we don't have no tools for when we head through those doors, what's going to happen is we're going to need the next one. And we're going to need the next one, and we're going to need the next one. But if we leave with some tools, the next one, you're going to have some people with you. That then seen your reflection, and they want to see theirs, and they want to see the Jesus that you know. Amen. So, as we go, and some of us will recover, some of us will become new, but as I told Pastor DeLise, I'm changing and I thank God for it. I've sang this song so many times over and over again, and I've had many changes in my life, but I think this has been the biggest. And it remains to be seen, but I think this is going to be the best. I heard someone say that your best is in your rest. The rest of you. Look at me, Lord. Love.